Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
With the Yankees nearly blowing a 10-1 lead, with the Mets looking like the team that we've expected them to be for a while, never knowing what's going to happen moving forward, finally listening to something that we've talked about for weeks with piggybacking Holmes and Sean Manaea in their rotation. My God, the inconsistencies. Like, BT and I talked about this, and BT is out. He's sick today. More on that in a little bit. But BT and I have talked about this for months about how this is maddening, watching each of these two teams throughout the course of this year play baseball in what otherwise is deemed a meaningless regular season with the way the landscape of the sport has changed. But come on, what are we doing? Am I supposed to now, from a Mets perspective, be all excited because they've had two wins in a row? One good performance last night, one encouraging performance last night, even the win on Sunday. Not really a big deal. They played poorly in that game, allowing the Alonso walk-off winner finally letting them to end the losing streak there. But I can't allow myself to truly get behind them just because they've won two games in a row, because I know that at any moment it could go the other way. Same thing with the Yankees. You want to get full into the Yankees and say, all right, well, the division may be lost, but still the Yankees are world beaters, and look at the offense. Here we go, back on track against the Twins. And they allow a game that should have been a snooze fest, 10-1, put it in your back pocket, go to sleep, go party, go get them the next day and try to win 2 out of 3 in Minnesota. They let that game get out of control to a point where, as Boone just said, you have to exhale. So these two teams, nothing in the final 12 games, 12 for the Yankees, 11 for the Mets, nothing in the final 2 weeks of the season is going to change how I feel about either of these teams big picture. However, aside from these teams driving us crazy, making us nuts all year long, the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows, the happiness, the sadness, the anger, the frustration, the joy, all of it. It's I'm tired of it. I can't deal with it. I need consistency. If you're going to suck, suck. At least I can embrace it and accept it and understand it. If you're going to be good, be good. But they up and down. Good, suck, great, suck, awful, good, suck. Like, it's all over the place. But with all that being said and all the frustrations that we've dealt with throughout the course of this long, long regular Major League Baseball season, in the end, and this is something that we've alluded to for a while as well, in the end, no matter what happened last night or what happens tonight or the next day, if they both get into the postseason, and we know the Yankees will be there, and it seems likely for the Mets. I mean, it's felt that way for a while, although I would say that the Diamondbacks are a more legit threat than either the Giants or the Reds. And the only reason why people aren't taking them more seriously is because of their schedule, which really shouldn't mean anything, because the Dodgers aren't what they were. The Phillies have already clinched the NL East. I know they're going to try to go out there and get the home field throughout, whatever it may be. Still, if not for their daunting schedule, and it is daunting on paper, the Diamondbacks, they would be more legit. They have the pedigree. They're coming after the Mets here. This is going to be a more legit race than it would be from the Reds or the Giants perspective. Anyway, both teams still, even with blowing the divisions, even with the maddening inconsistencies and the frustrations all year long, both teams still can go out there and win the World Series. And saying that is not a crazy thought. Like, you could disagree with it. BT could disagree with it. I could have my theory on whether one would win it or will win it or whatever. The reality is both teams can still go out there and not only get to a World Series, win a World Series. And I would say that have as good a chance as anybody in the field in the National League or the American League. because we've learned how the regular season doesn't mean much. It doesn't mean that you would bet them the odds-on favorites. They're obviously not going to be the odds-on favorites. They're certainly not the Mets. The Yankees might be in the American League, even with not winning the division. I don't know. I haven't checked the latest odds. But the expectations coming into the season were that these two teams could legitimately contend to win a World Series. And throughout the course of the year, the maddening year, we have lost sight of those expectations at times. Beginning June 13th, oh my God, Subway Series, here we come. Since then, what the hell is going on? These teams stink. Fire this guy, fire that guy, trade this guy. He's no good. Bench him, send him down. That's been the talk for the majority of the last couple of years, with both these teams. But in the end, and we're nearing the end, mercifully, you know, baseball's got to change the format and all that, so that's a whole other conversation that we can have, if you'd like. I'm here all day. But in the end, the goal still is attainable for each of these teams. So while you get worked up about Schlittler not having a good start, or while you have concerns about the Yankees' bullpen, and while you get worked up about the inconsistencies of the Mets offense or their bullpen or their starting rotation, however it is that you want, whatever it is that's bothering you about that team, the goals of winning a World Series still at this point very much in play and attainable. And in the end, isn't that all you could ask for? Like, just get us to October with a chance. You could say it's unlikely. I could fight back and say it actually is very likely. Like, make a case against the Yankees in the American League. We all know their flaws. We've gone over it a million times over. But really, make it a strong case. Look at everybody else. They're all flawed, too. I firmly believe, and I thought the Yankees were going to win the division. Obviously, that doesn't look like that's going to be the case at this point. I firmly believe they're better than Toronto. And if I think they're better than Toronto, I mean, who's better in the American League? Well, I'm scared of the Mariners. I mean, they could be dangerous in a short series. Anybody could in the best of three or best of five. Yeah, of course, anybody could be dangerous. But would I take those teams, my life on the line over the Yankees? I would not. I'd take the Yankees. Even with all their flaws, I'm taking the Yankees. And then go to the National League. And okay, yeah, the Phillies are great. 91 wins and counting. The Brewers have played incredible baseball. And the last time they played the Mets, they mopped the floor with them. Made them look silly. Do you really trust the Milwaukee Brewers in the postseason? Based on what exactly? Every postseason, they fail. They have good regular seasons. Get to the playoffs, they fail. Doesn't mean that they're going to again, but how can you trust them? The Phillies, they were far better than the Mets a year ago. And what happened? The Mets bounced them in four games. So you're going to tell me that the Mets can't beat the Phillies? Yeah, I mean, the Mets themselves believe they can. And that's half the battle. Mets may think that they're better than they are. That could be a good thing. Even the big, bad, high and mighty Dodgers, the unbeatable Dodgers, and their robust 84 wins blowing games left and right with their bullpen. They scare you? How about the Padres? We just saw Michael King get his you-know-what lit up by the Mets lineup last night. Tanner Roark'd. You know, I'm talking about Keith. You remember that one off. Come on. We all do. I'm not worried about those teams. I'm more worried about the teams here, meaning that if the Yankees don't play their best brand of baseball, they're going to go home. If they do play their best or close to their best, they're going to go to the World Series. And I think you could say the same thing about the Mets, because what the Mets lack now, and the bigger issue of all of this is just the Mets making sure that they get there. But what the Mets lack is something that is going to be negated to a certain extent come postseason. You saw a little bit of that last night with the piggybacking. So the point is, after this, like, I actually got to a point, I personally, and I know that I'm not alone, but I personally can't take it anymore. I can't take the emotions of watching either of these two teams down the stretch. Just get me there. Get me there. We already know what's going on with the division. Get us to the postseason so where we can really now nestle in and see what each of these teams are made of. There's no more evaluating them in the regular season. We know what they've been in the regular season, and even more importantly, we know it doesn't matter. You want to go back to last year's teams and reference that in the playoffs? You could. I know they're each different ball clubs for different reasons, but it doesn't mean that they can't have similar success to what happened a year ago. It also doesn't mean that they can't get bounced in the first round, which is what makes it so crazy. But until the main goal, of getting to and winning a World Series is no longer attainable, we really have no choice but to sit back and let it play out. It's either that or go nuts every single night investing in these teams where you know it's really not worth the investment because it doesn't matter. Think about the 8-game losing streak with the Mets. Anybody watching would think the same thing, aside from the math and the play. You'd be like, this team stinks. They're dead. How do you lose 8 in a row going to trying to make the playoffs? And now they win 2 in a row, and it's, we're back up. Here we go. Look out. The Mets can be dangerous. Yankees, same thing. Oh, they go through a great stretch against tough opponents, something that people wanted to see them prove themselves. Take 2 out of 3 from Toronto. They did it. Houston, they did it. Boston, they did it. All right, now go get fat off of the Twinkies, and they get spanked by the Twins. All right, well, now they're back, and they're crushing the Twins, and then it's a 10-9 game. Like, neither of these teams are perfect. Nobody else is either. And in baseball's format, once you get there, it's not just anything's possible. These two teams each have pieces in place that you can make a legitimate argument for each team succeeding in the postseason. BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. I mean, I'm sorry. I can't just sit here and be like, oh, the Mets are back after an 8-2 win, whatever it is, crushing the Padres last night right out of the gate. And you got to win series here. You got to win games. And I do think that the Mets are actually going to have to earn their way in. Yesterday, we were talking about potentially 6-6. Well, if Arizona continues to play the brand of baseball that they're playing, and they've won 4 straight, and I do believe that they're more legit than the Giants and Reds, then it's going to be the Mets are going to have to earn their way in. Not, well, you take a game against the Pods and take a game against, or two against the Nats and maybe win 2 of the final 6. No, they're going to, like, maybe they do have to finish that stretch of 12-7-5, or now it would be 7-4 along the way. Marcelo is calling from Miami to get things started. What's up, Marcelo?
How you doing, Sal? I feel exactly the way you do when it comes to the Mets, but I must say, with these last 3 games, I'm feeling a little more positive than I have been throughout the season.
Oh, 2 games. Because, it's not even 3. It's 2.
Yeah, but I'm also counting Petey's walk-off.
Yeah, that was Sunday. That's 1. Yesterday was 2. They were off on Monday.
That's right. Well, I don't know. I feel like the energy is coming in our favor, and seeing the team come together when Francisco Alvarez got hit by that pitch, I feel like the team's coming together, and we know that we got to stick together as a team. And I don't know if they're going to retaliate against any hitter tonight because of hitting Alvarez, but I feel like if we do see that, I don't know. I feel like the energy will be real good coming into the post.
I don't think you're going to see that, Marcelo. I thought the time to do that would have been last night, and thank you for the call if they felt the need to do it. Now's not the time to be messing around trying to retaliate. You got to go out there and win every game you possibly can, because what I was just saying about getting to the playoffs and anything's possible, if the Mets don't get there, then it's not possible. Like, they could be saying, and we could be thinking, hey, man, there's a lot about this team that can be dangerous or appealing once they get to the postseason. However, getting there is going to be their biggest hurdle. Like, there's no excuse. And Stearns alluded to this yesterday. He met the media and talked about it. There is no excuse. It's why I made my decision definitively. I don't care what happens the rest of the way. Outside of the Mets getting to or winning a World Series, I've made my decision on what I would do with the core of this team. Now, we could have those conversations in the offseason. Stearns may still be evaluating that, whatever. I can't trust this team. I don't know how anybody could. They have 78 wins. There's 11 games to go. That's not good enough. It's not good. Like, if the Mets won every game, it's still not a 90-win team. It's not good enough. Now, it wouldn't be good enough for me, and I bet that it's not going to be good enough for King Cohen or David Stearns. It's not good enough. So why did it happen? And that's what they need to figure out. However, in the moment, as long as they can figure out, as Stearns says, hey, our priority is not about worrying about that stuff now. We're trying to win every game we can of the remaining now 11 and see where we end up. And that should be the goal. Get to the damn playoffs, and then once you get in the playoffs, figure out how you're going to get through the postseason. Then you could evaluate bigger moves and changes so you don't find yourself in this spot again. This is an unacceptable spot to be in for the Mets. Don't lose sight of that because they've won 2 games in a row and enjoyed an off day in between. You're right, the feel has changed. The feel has changed. It's still unacceptable that they're in this spot to begin with. And by the way, nothing is done yet. You know, all of a sudden they lose tonight. And that's what I'm like. We continue to have the same arguments. BT and I argued about it all the time. What if the Mets lose tonight and the Diamondbacks win? Then what? Then how's the feel? All of a sudden, it's not, oh, we're on easy street. We're going to be great in the postseason. Nobody wants to see us. Now it's, uh-oh, clinch spot. Half game lead. Larry's in Howard Beach. What's up, Larry?
What's going on, Sal? How are you, buddy? All right.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Good, Larry. How are you, my friend? What's up?
All right. No problem. I'm sort of like you, Sal. I'll be honest with you. I was watching a game last night with my two kids, and I'll make you laugh. We're winning 8-1, 8-2, whatever it was, and everything. And my daughter goes, me, Dad, what's up? You know, we're winning. Why don't you look so happy? It's just that, you know, everything you've seen from this team since, you know, the middle of June on and everything like that, you can't believe in this team. You know, I know, they had to come from behind win on Sunday and then the nice win last night. But you know what? You know, I'll be honest with you. It's going to take me, I would say if they sweep San Diego, maybe I'll start to, you know, be a believer again. Maybe they're on one of those streaks. But, you know, up until then, it's a day by day process with this team.
I think you nailed it, Larry. That's the exact feel. And thank you for the call. Now, last night was a refreshing win. Nothing to stress about, nothing to worry about. It was refreshing that they finally did what we wanted them to do for a while, piggybacking starters, because obviously they don't have guys that could go deep into games. That was their biggest issue, so why not try to combine them? They waited till now. It worked, obviously, to perfection last night, not to mention that the bats got it going against King, which just made everything a lot easier. But even with that refreshing enjoy, you know, a game you could sit back and enjoy for a change. Even with that, they still annoy you because it shouldn't have come to this. The win on Sunday was aggravating. It shouldn't have taken all that. It shouldn't have taken them to get to the, you know, Pete spot where you had to walk it off. They should have won that game before then. Saturday, they should have won. They could have won a game or two in Philly. Like, they have so far disappointed or under-delivered the expectation this year that it's going to take a lot to get over that. Think about it. They get to the playoffs. Okay, everybody's going to be excited about the playoffs, but then what happens if they lose in the first round? Not good enough. Remember, keep the main goal intact. Even though we all watch this team and there aren't great reasons to truly believe they're a World Series caliber team, that still should be the goal. And if they get in, it is possible because they do have certain pieces in place. They're going to have to earn it. They've hurt us far too long. That's why you can't sit back and just be like, here we go, we're excited for the playoffs. If you're in Milwaukee, you're excited for the postseason. You're in Philadelphia, you're excited for the postseason. Other cities could be excited for the postseason. Chicago even, and their 87 wins. Dodgers, whatever. Padres have been playing poorly, which is another reason why I said that I thought the Mets would make the postseason. I thought they would catch, a week ago, I thought they would catch the Padres for the second spot. Which, by the way, if they sweep, maybe they can. But it's hard to enjoy it with the way that we've watched both these. Even last night with the Yankees, a 10-1 game. You telling me Yankee fans enjoyed that 10-9 victory? A win's a win. You take it. But my God, it should never be that way. Tag team last night of Clay Holmes and Sean Manaea getting the job done. Before we get to that, I do want to say BT texted me last night. He's been sick for like a week. Right off, it's been a while, I think BT's been sick. So he just wanted me to make sure that the audience knows, like, we know it's fall, we know it's important. He would do it. He was trying to battle through the last couple of days, certainly. He's got some kind of viral thing, not COVID. So he's killing him not to be here today, but that's the point. So I just want to relay that message. He's sick. We told him, rest up, we'll be fine. Hopefully he's back at it tomorrow. We can power up, get ready for week 3 in the NFL, talk to baseball, all that stuff. But he is actually legitimately sick and has been sick for at least a week. I think dating back to last week.
At least least a week, maybe a year, actually.
Yeah, no, no, no. All kidding aside, he's been definitely dating back to last week, and then this week.
Last Friday, he was miserable, and I thought that Monday that either he wouldn't be in or that he'd be well-rested and come back, but it actually took the turn for the worse.
So, yeah, yesterday during the show, we were trying to battle through, so he's rested up. He'll be fine, but he just wanted me to make sure you guys know that. He's not just taking a day off.
He needs Tiger blood. That's what he needs.
A little Charlie Sheen Tiger
blood. There you go.
I know, actually, I wanted to talk about that because I know you watched that and he watched it. We'll save it for when BT comes back tomorrow and we can get more into that. We'll have some fun with other stuff. And that damn Emmy thing yesterday, we'll get into that as well. I don't really want to, but I have to finish up. Yeah, I was getting text about it. Oh, what happened? What happened? I don't want to talk about it, but we will talk about that in a little bit. Back to the Holmes and Mania thing. You know, I was wanting the Mets to do this weeks ago, and it's one of the reasons why, it's not that it's going to be effective every time, who the hell knows, but it's one of the reasons why even weeks ago, I believed that the Mets could still be dangerous in the postseason when they get there, because what is a major weakness, their starters, maybe their biggest weakness, I mean, the offense has been inconsistent and frustrating, but their starters not being able to give them any kind of quality or length, the majority of them. So why not then do what they did last night and have Holmes, who could be a very effective four-inning pitcher, and Mania, who could be a very effective four- or five-inning pitcher. That's what he was last night. And certainly Mania, it seems like he's turned the corner here. But why not put them together? They can maybe do the same thing with, let's say, Senga, assuming Senga could come back, and Peterson or Sproat and Tong. Like, you don't know how it's going to work. I'm talking about weeks ago, that was my mindset. Now you're getting to evaluate a little bit more what these guys have to give you. And clearly the Mets made the decision. And I think they made the decision. I don't know this. I think that they made the decision to go with Mania piggybacking Holmes before Tong couldn't get out of the first inning on Friday night. That was my issue. I'd rather have Mania start a game than I would Tong right now. Just the timing of it didn't make much sense, but the plan works. So let's just say, hypothetically, the Mets get to the postseason. Clearly, McClain is the one guy who you trust wholeheartedly in that rotation. And for me, I'd go Holmes / Mania in game two. And I'd probably go, as of now, I need to see more, a little bit more, and we're going to see. I'd probably go Sproat game three. We'll see what happens with Peterson tonight, but I would consider moving if Peterson has not been very good, I would consider moving him to the pen, and if Senga could get his act together in the minors, one more start in the minors, then he'll probably come up here and make at least one more start. Well, it would be probably just one more start in the majors before the postseason. Maybe you have a situation where you go McClain, Holmes / Mania, and you could go Senga / Peterson, and then you have Sproat, Tong. I mean, you still have some options there with the Mets. So that, in a short series in the postseason, certainly a wild card round or best of five, that issue that the Mets had with the starting pitchers not giving any length, that's not going to be there in the playoffs. Not to mention that now their bullpen, with just 11 games to go, basically has had two off days, with the off day on Monday and then yesterday just using Holmes and Mania. They should be fully rested to a point where Mendoza should be able to pick his spots now and use the guys in the right situation. No excuses. They're not tired, fully rested, and let's go. I mean, it's basically every game from here on out's the postseason for the Mets. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Matt is in Montclair. What's up, Matty?
Hey, what's going on, Sal?
How are you, Matt?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Hope BT feels better. I mean, but touch on two things real quick. Number one, you know, this Mets team is, they are who we see them as. I mean, 21 games over 500 at 45-24 was a great thing. But, you know, this lull over a long period of time, and we're looking at, 100 games of under 500 almost. But the beautiful thing is you can, and we all know this, you can catch fire at the right time. Example of that, 06 Cardinals, we know them well, mm-hmm. don't we? I mean, you know, 83-78, snuck in, won the division in a bad Central that year. But they, you know, and we can say this all day long. They get it done when they have to.
Well, that's kind of my my point, Matt, is that, and you know, if you're, I want to tie in both teams because I think it pertains to both the Mets and the Yankees. There have been things that have infuriated us as a Met fan, as a Yankee fan, all regular season long. And in reality, it's sad to say, not that nothing that happened matters, because obviously some of it does, but you really, when the lows were the low, those things don't matter. And however you feel about your team, whether it's the Mets or the Yankees, just know that a fresh start, the most important start, is right around the corner here. And those goals of winning a World Series, still realistic possibilities for each team.
Absolutely. And, you know, playing under pressure in September typically benefits these teams in the wild card based on history. I mean, look at us last year. And there's other examples, too. You know, I mean, I can't tell you how many times this year I've shut the game off in the sixth inning. I can't do this anymore. But right. Then I'm back at it the next day. You know how it goes. But, I mean, you know.
Yeah, I do, you know, unfortunately.
You know the deal. But what matters day to day, I mean, solid win yesterday. Momentum building stuff, right? So all you can do is take it one breath at a time at this point because things are that tight. And the lucky thing is we get the Giants and the D-backs playing each other today. Verlander's pitching, and he's been pitching great. So hopefully the Giants take this one off and they keep beating each other up a little bit.
Yeah, I would root for the Giants today, and thank you for the call, Matt. My concern as it pertains to the Mets specifically would be that I do think Arizona is going to make a legit run, even with their difficult schedule. They get the Phillies, they got the Dodgers, and they close with the Padres, I believe, and obviously one more with the Giants now. Was never worried about the Giants, was never worried about the Reds. The Mets continuing to lose allowed the Diamondbacks back in. That's the issue. If they won two of those eight games that they lost, we wouldn't be talking about this. They wouldn't be able to be caught by Arizona. The fact that the Mets kept losing, forget about the Reds or Giants who were also losing themselves, they let the Diamondbacks get in, a team with a little bit of pedigree and a team that can be dangerous. And once you start to sniff that blood in the water, I mean, man, like here's the worry. So not only would I be worried about the Diamondbacks being better than the Giants and more legit than the Giants and the Reds, that's like a mild concern. My bigger concern is the way that you see, I was fending it off the other way. For weeks, the Mets will be fine. Don't worry about it. They're one win away from changing the field. Unfortunately, in the midst of that eight-game losing streak, that one win didn't come. It just never came. They need to win the game. Win a game. A game. You win one, all of a sudden it's like, okay, exhale. You pick up a game in the standings or whatever. You move a day off the calendar and just change the entire field. So I was trying to fight off that negative feel, knowing that one win can change the entire situation. But now it seems like the feel is just because one win did change the feel and then it turned into two wins last night. Now it seems like the feel is okay, back in the driver's seat. Think about that. Just two wins erases the feel of an eight-game losing streak. Well, not so fast, because it's very plausible, if not in fact likely, that the Mets lose a game or two to the Padres. And then what? Like, what if Arizona wins today and the Mets lose? Now it's back to a half game and you're tied again. Like, this is hold on to your, is it seats or buckle up or buckle your, fasten your seatbelt. It's going to be a, you know, whatever. The ride is going to get bumpy. This is it. Like, this is not okay. Well, they won and now take a breather. They're going to the postseason. This is a playoff fight. It has been 4 weeks. And the fact that they kept losing allowed a better team, a more dangerous team, and the Diamondbacks to enter the conversation. Now you got to worry about them. Charlie's in Bethpage.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNC's apply.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
What's up, Charlie?
Hey, Charlie, how are we doing here, buddy?
Good, Charlie.
Hey, you know what? The baseball we saw in July and August, unacceptable. They go on this good run right now and get in the playoffs is all we ask for. But we got to see it on a consistent basis, and we haven't seen it. So it's hard to believe it's just going to turn around now. So they got to prove it to the fan base, and they got to prove it to themselves because they haven't done anything. I mean, they're so lucky they're even in the talk about getting into the playoffs. Right. But if they play like they did last night, that's the team I thought we were going to have all year long. That kind of power hitting, that kind of pitching from both those guys who we didn't see it from. And if we can get all that, we're going to be in a good place, and we can go to a nice spot, and it would be nice to end our season.
But it's a big if, and I guess that's kind of my point too, Charlie, and thank you for the call. Instead of getting aggravated with each of these two teams, like it has not been fun. It's been a lot of negative talk about both the Mets and Yankees, who have disappointed to different levels of extent, but have disappointed, at least in my opinion, each team is disappointed this regular season for a variety of reasons. So that's not fun for me. I'm not enjoying watching these games. Even like I said last night, a 10-1 game, you'd think a fan would, hey, it's going to be the greatest thing ever. The fact that you have to sweat that out right up until the ninth inning with Bednar giving up that home run to make it a 10-9 game, like, that's not fun. However, and it's easier for the Yankee fan because they're going to the playoffs. If you take and you can worry about matchups and we get into that and talk about all that stuff, but they're going to the playoffs. So you could take yourself away and just be like, all right, whatever. These games are really meaningless against the Twins and Orioles and White Sox to close it out here. Yeah, you want to make sure you get the top wild card. You want to, obviously you'd rather win than lose, and you want to see your team playing well. Maybe Volpe could get himself back into the conversation to start some games at short. He looked pretty good. Instead of reacting to each night, overreacting one way or the other, Mets win, we're back up, here we go, postseason, here we come, going to go win it all. Or they lose a game, oh crap, this team stinks, bury them, fire everybody. They will ultimately be determined by what happens in October. And October now is just weeks away, thankfully, mercifully. And that's how we're going to evaluate these teams. So before we bury them, before we put a fork in them for good, everything is attainable as far as their ultimate goal, getting into, not only getting into the postseason, but getting to and winning a World Series. I still would be more encouraged from that performance last night, mainly two reasons. Number one, Anthony Volpe. And it's not that I could trust Volpe, but at least you saw some signs last night of, okay, here's a reminder that he can be impactful here. Look, you're down the stretch. Like, forget about the lost season. It's all about how you're going to try to win. The same thing that pertains to the Mets pertains to the Yankees. It's all about how you're going to get your best players on the field right now, who's ever hottest, whoever can contribute now, to go help you win a damn World Series. And Volpe, at his best, is better than Caballero. Like, we like Caballero, sure. And he's more maybe stable than the roller coaster ride that has been Anthony Volpe, in really his 3 years in the big leagues, but none more than this year. This year has been, it's really been awful for Anthony Volpe. But he's still got that potential to be a difference maker. You saw what he did in the postseason a year ago, couple hits last night, played some sound defense. Like, there are things there with Volpe that were encouraging last night. Forget about the 10 runs against the Twins. Like, that doesn't worry me. Even Schlittler, like, I'm not concerned about that. The other thing would be the bullpen, where you look at it and say, oh, God, how do you blow a 10-1 lead? Bullpen not that good. No, in fact, the bullpen was fine. Williams, again, looked good in his inning. I told you, BT and I were debating this. I would trust him behind Bednar. As a matter of fact, I might even trust him more than Bednar. Not that I would make Williams the closer. I wouldn't. Bednar is the clear closer no matter what the rest of the way. But I trust Devin Williams. He's been through some ups and downs. The fact that he's able to get out of each down and turn it around, to me, that's a great sign of handling adversity. Anyway, it's not like they have a bunch of other trusted arms, so you want to put in Cruz in there, Williams, Bednar. I wouldn't trust Weaver. Leiter is what he is. He's all right, but it's not like the Yankees' bullpen was awful last night. Yarbrough's not going to be pitching meaningful innings for this team in the playoffs. So I think that there were more encouraging signs than not in a 10, which should have been, 10, or it should have been a rout, turned out to be a 10-9 ball game after the Yanks got out to a 10-1 lead. 888-808-1019, the number to call. Joe is in Valley Stream. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Sal, how are you?
Good, Joe. How you doing?
Great. You kind of just took my thunder a little bit, but, I'm calling me crazy, but after Bednar, I probably trust Williams the most. Weaver's been caca. Cruz, Hill stinks. Duval, awful. He stinks, Duval. So, like, after Bednar, I probably trust Williams, the most.
Yeah, I mean, by default, yes, but also because he's earned his way back into that circle of trust, Joe. Whereas you mentioned it, who else would you put in there? Like, I think it really comes down to Cruz or Williams, probably. I would trust Williams.
Oh, shoot, I have a cop in back of me.
Oh, hopefully he didn't get in trouble. And he didn't curse. Good job there, Joe, maintaining your composure. Maybe he had to go and he was just making that excuse. You think he really had a cop pull him over?
I don't know. I probably would have cursed if there was really a cop behind me.
I don't know. I actually got pulled over the other day. I hate to admit that live on the air, but I did get pulled over the other day. I don't get pulled over often, but when it does happen, I don't know. Like, I don't think I've ever been on the phone while it happened. If you were calling a radio station, we've heard other people say that throughout the course of the year. If you got pulled over while live on the phone, do you just, like, I feel like I'd have a hard time just leaving that call that I've waited on hold for and was ready to make. I'd have a hard time just giving that up and be like, oh, crap, a cop's behind me, I got to go.
Well, here's the thing.
I guess, I don't know.
Here's the thing. First of all, like, technically, and this is to all the listeners out there, you're not supposed to be holding a phone in your hand. You're supposed to be hands-free.
Yeah, well, he probably was. At this point, does anybody hold the phone in their hands?
I don't think so. But, like, why would you hang up right away? Like, I mean, you'd have to.
Right.
Nowadays, if I did get pulled over, I'd be like, hey, listen, I got to call you back. I'm getting pulled over.
Yeah, there you go, right.
It wouldn't be like, oh, shoot, got to go, bye.
Like, if I'm calling your show, Hoff, on the overnights on Saturday, I'm like, Hoff, you know, the Mets think, oh, dude, I don't believe this. A cop's pulling, I'm getting pulled over. All right, man, I got to go. I'm getting pulled over.
No, don't go. Let me talk to the cop.
Anyway, hopefully it works out for him. It worked out for me.
Do you think you can get somebody out of a ticket, by the way, if you were on the air with that person? Like, if that guy, who was it, Joe?
It depends, probably. Are they a listener or the fan? Like, if they're a listener or the fan, then maybe.
I think if it's a local cop, yes. Yeah. If it's a state trooper, no.
It also depends on what the guy's doing. You know, what did Joe do to get pulled over?
I think he was.
Is he on the phone? Is he using his phone with his hand? Is he speeding?
Well, yeah,
is he not paying attention to drive? You know, he's going blowing through stop signs. What's he doing? And that's the question.
That's the question.
But the cop's probably not going to be down for any nonsense. Hey, yeah, Joe, put him on the horn with me. Tell him it's Sal on the midday show. BT and Sal.
Then you get a couple tickets.
Cop's not going to do that. Yeah. Exactly. Mario's calling from Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
What's up, Mario?
Hey, what's going on? Good show.
How are you, Mario?
Yeah, that was funny. Listen, I really love your two takes. You just have one on Volpe and one on the, bullpen with Devin Williams. I do believe, like you said, that he's earned his way back in. And everybody was burying him.
Yeah.
It was not too long ago.
Twice.
He was saying, yeah.
Twice this year, beginning of the year, and then again, you know, three quarters of the way through the year.
So you got to give Boone credit how he moved him back in, gave him a little confidence, and now he seems to be pitching well. Now, in terms of Volpe, too, I mean, he hit last year in the playoffs. And I looked it up, Caballero, is that how you say his name?
Caballero, yes.
Caballero, yeah. He has never played the postseason yet in his career.
Is that
so
true?
So I believe, maybe Hoff can take a look. I looked it up real quick a while back. I didn't see any postseason stuff. And Volpe still has 19 homers. Caballero has no power at all, you know?
And also, my bigger thing would not be that he hasn't played in the postseason, Mario, and thank you for the call. My bigger thing would be you'd like to have him as a useful piece to deploy when needed off the bench, whether it's late in the game on the base paths, steal a big base, whether it is a defensive replacement. Now, again, that is going to take a backseat to if Volpe can't manage playing shortstop, you got to have Caballero play short. But Volpe last night gave an encouraging performance. Would I trust Volpe at this point? No, I would not. But it's not like you have some light, like Caballero's not even an everyday shortstop. It's not like you have some lights out, no doubt about it, answer in Caballero. Has he played in the postseason here off? I'm looking. Ba 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 ba. He has not played in the postseason. So Mario, you were correct on that. Anyway, I wouldn't let that be the determining factor. Yeah, he was with the Rays just in 2024. Obviously, they didn't make the postseason that year with the Mariners before that. And then again this year with the Rays before being traded over to the Yanks. Like, I mean, I like him as a player. I love the addition that the Yankees made. And I would trust him to be more stable at short, but the upside with Volpe at short and then Caballero to the bench, like, that makes you a stronger team. If Volpe's not starting at short, Volpe is essentially useless. He's not going to be a defensive replacement. All right, could you use him to pinch run? Sure. But even that, he's not as good as Caballero at that, and he's certainly not versatile. You're going to use Volpe to pinch hit in a big spot after the year he's had? If you're going to maximize your roster And again, these are decisions maybe the Yankees are going to figure out over the next 12 games or the final 12 games. I'm sure they're going to do everything that they possibly can to have Volpe be their shortstop. I just don't know if that's going to be a reality with the way that he's played the majority of the season.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.